If you're glad you're here this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, it has been a great morning so far, hasn't it? And the thing that I want you to understand and know is that it's not because of the band. It's not because of me. It's not because of anyone else. It's because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. Can I get an amen? All right. So, you know, it's kind of interesting because I consider our church a family. And as such, there are times when family comes and stays for a while, and there's times when family comes and they don't stay very long. And this morning, at this point in time, I'm just going to share something that's kind of not one of our favorite things to share, but it's a natural part of being a part of a church. For those of you who are guests with us this morning, this is not something that we do every week or at all usually, but anyway, we just have something we want to share with the church body this morning, and I'm going to ask Pastor Chuck to come up right now and just to share some stuff that God's kind of placed on he and Shannon's heart.
Thanks, Doug. Well, first off, Shannon and I, we love Lighthouse. This is our favorite church we have been at, and we are just so thankful for you and all of the things that you have done for us and the youth and student ministry. But as of the last Friday, I have turned in my resignation here at Lighthouse, and I'm taking a step back from ministry just to heal and to kind of just say, hey, you know, God, what do you want next for our lives? And so it wasn't Lighthouse. There's nothing that I did immorally. It's just we're taking a step back to just kind of heal and take some time to see what God is wanting to do next. So my last Sunday will be next Sunday morning.
Thanks, Chuck. Well, and as Chuck kind of told me a little over a week ago on Friday, just that they had prayed about this and they were taking a step back. One of the things they told Chuck was, I'm going to really miss him. And I've had several people just like, man, he's so charismatic. He's fun to be around and everything. And one of the things I appreciate, and somebody even mentioned it recently, was the maturity of someone to know and understand when you need healing and when you need to step back. And so we encourage Chuck and Shannon. We love them very much. We're going to keep praying for them. As a church, and I can share this with you, as a church body, our board decided that we want to be part of the healing process and have taken steps in order to make that happen. But next Sunday, we're going to have a time as part of our service. We're going to have Chuck and Shannon up here, and we're going to pray over them as they're part of their last Sunday here. We want to pray over them. We want to pray prayers of healing. And we want to pray into God's next steps, because as I told Chuck, that he and Shannon both here is that they are valuable to the God has great plans. Just because Chuck and I talked about it, it's like you're taking a break. You're not a football player blows out his ACL. He doesn't just quit the game. He takes a break, goes in rehab. That's what's happening here, and we want to be part of that. We love both of you guys very much, and look forward to next week when we get to pray with you and pray over you and know that God's going to do great things through you. So why don't we just take a moment and we'll pray and continue our service together. Father, thank you for Chuck. Thank you for Shannon. Thank you for Lighthouse. Thank you for healing, God, that you promised through the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that our past does not define our future. And that, God, you're going to use Chuck and Shannon in mighty ways. We love you, God, and pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Chuck, I know you got to get back there with the middle schoolers. Thanks, man. Thank you. With that said, I know that there are probably some of you who have questions and things that you would like to know. And if you need to, stop me. I'd love to share any you may have. We've already moved. We've got great plans for children's ministry and youth ministry. Things are already going on. Things are already happening there, and it's going to be a great time as we move forward. Okay, so I just want you to be confident in that things are already in place. Next Sunday, we open up our children's wing. It's going to be phenomenal. With that said, I just want to make sure that you know this is a big week for us. So if you have any skills at all, at all, okay? We need help in the children's. I don't know how to make it any clearer to you. Any time of day, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Wednesday night, okay? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, we can use the help. Please, please, please connect with Rick George if you can help with anything, okay? We'll take the help. The last thing, as I take up most of my time, is this card is in your bulletin. Can you pull that out for me real quick? Just pull that card out of your bulletin. If you don't have a bulletin, well, we have cards in the back. You can make sure to pick one of these up. Rick referenced it, or Michael did in the video earlier. This coming Saturday, we are having a prayer and praise night because we believe that prayer changes things. Our focus for that night is back to school, okay? So if you've got kids or grandkids who are going to school, whether they're in elementary school, middle school, high school, college, graduate students, whatever the case may be, you can throw their names on here. If you know your students' teachers' names, put them on here. If you know somebody who's not your parent, your kid's teacher, but they're a teacher, an administrator in a school, put school names on here, okay? We're going to be praying over these schools and praying over students and teachers and administrators on Saturday. Now, that's not the only thing we'll be praying for. It'll be our emphasis, but if you have other prayer requests, if you know somebody who you work with who's going through a hard time right now and you would like prayer for them, put it on the card, okay? If you know somebody in your family who needs prayer for physical healing, put it on the card. Those things, and you don't have to, you'll notice there's no place for a name on here. You just put it on there anonymously, okay? So make sure you use these cards. You can put them, we've got black boxes by the door as you walk out. You can slide these into those boxes. You can hand it to me, you can hand it to Elaine, you can hand it to Rick. Just make sure you get them to us. We'll be praying over these on Saturday, okay? Done. Everybody with me. Take a big deep breath on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. And let. Ooh, some of you should brush. Okay. So, did you know that God loves you? Say amen. God loves you. Say amen. You. And you know what's really awesome? Some of you have come up and go, Pastor Doug, you look pretty snazzy today, wearing the tie and everything. And my thing is, you know what? Don't get used to it. Okay. This is my Labor Day get up. All right. And I know that technically, tomorrow is the last day that you can wear white shoes, right? But I don't care about rules. I already told somebody I'm pulling these out on Christmas because I don't abide by those kind of rules, all right? But Labor Day is actually the unofficial beginning of the school year, right? It's the unofficial end of summer. It's the beginning of the school year. It's the beginning of college football, all of these things. Great barbecues going on. How many of you are excited just to have a day off for Labor Day? Yep, all over the place, okay? So it's interesting to me because we don't really think about what Labor Day is. Labor Day actually went into federal law on June 28, 1894. 1894, Congress passed an act that made the first Monday in September a holiday. In fact, if you go to the Department of Labor on their website, this is what it actually says on their website. Labor Day, the first Monday in September, is a creation of the labor movement and is dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers. It constitutes a yearly national tribute to the contributions workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country. Okay? Yeah. And the unfortunate thing is that most of us don't really even think about that when it comes. And how blessed we are to have a job. How blessed we are to be able to work. Unfortunately, the downside in our culture today, we have been so prosperous. The downside is that there are a lot of people today who think that the American dream isn't necessarily what it was 100 or 200 years ago, where people were streaming into the United States of America because they could make something of themselves. If they just worked hard enough, they could do something with their lives and reach some kind of goal that they couldn't in their former country. Today we see the American dream is that I can make enough money that I can quit working. right? I can, whether it's winning the lottery or hitting it big on YouTube or whatever the case may be, okay, we just hope and pray that we can make enough money that we can quit working, all right? I love what Ralph Waldo Emerson said. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, without ambition, one starts nothing. Without work, one finishes nothing. The prize will not be sent to you. You have to win it. Great things do not come in boxes delivered by Amazon Prime. Okay? Great things happen. Our lives make a difference when we work hard. I love what Emerson said, okay? You were created to win. You were created to do great things. You were created to make a difference. In fact, you were created to work. God, listen to this, and I know that some of us are going to be like, what? Okay, God gave you the gift of work. Do you know why it's a gift? Do you know why work is a gift? Because that means you were created on purpose for a purpose. You were not just some random, you know, thought that God popped into God's mind. No, you were created on purpose for a purpose. And work reflects that purpose for which you were created. And time and again in Scripture, we see it. If you go all the way back to the beginning of time in Genesis chapter 2, after God had created human beings. Look at what it says. It says, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to what? To work it. And I'm not talking dancing, okay? He put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Adam was in paradise. Adam was in a place where he had everything he could possibly want. And God didn't put him there and say, you know, hey, here you go. No. He put Adam in there and said, earn your keep. He put Adam in the Garden of Eden and said, I have given you talents for which you can use to keep this beautiful creation I made beautiful. Work. Work. I want you to work. That's what God designed us and created us for. And God, the same thing is true about you and about me. God created you and gave you talents in order for you to work, to use those talents to fulfill the purpose for which you were created. And I know that some of you may want to look at me and go, well, Doug, I mean, you don't know what I do for work. There could be nothing that helps humanity less than the work I do. And here's what I want you to hear. Here's the most important thing maybe this morning that you're going to hear, okay? Your work is vital to the kingdom of God. Your work is vital to the kingdom of God. But Doug, you don't know. The work I do isn't vital. There's nothing less in humanity that is less vital than what I do. But here's the thing, too. But here's the thing, this. What you do may be less important. You do it with. Do you hear what I said? What you do may be way less important than who you do it with. See, to God, for some of you, your job is a means to an end. God has placed you where you are, wherever it is that you are. And you may look at it and you may think to yourself, well, it's not that big a deal what I do. But God has put you there, not because you're creating widgets or you're working on a line or you're picking up this or you're doing that, but because you are in a place where people need to hear about God. And so what you do may be far less important than who you do it with. Because you may be the only Jesus that those people see who work where you work. You may be the only Jesus that those people may see And God needs you where God has you right now. And the interesting thing is, and I'm going to kind of fly through this right now, the Bible says a lot about work. There's great illustrations of people who work hard throughout the scriptures when you read it. I mean, Noah comes to mind for me, okay? A guy who spent decades building an ark in a dry land expecting rain, okay? He worked hard. But the Bible not only talks about people who worked hard, it gives us wisdom about hard work. Check out what the scriptures say. It says in Proverbs 12:11, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. Okay? It says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Okay, that's Paul. That's the leaders back then are saying there's no room, there's no place for laziness. There's no place, there's no room for people who aren't willing to work hard and put in the work. Whatever that work may be, okay? We read in Proverbs 14:23, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. So, here's the thing. You and I both know that our work, now on a side note, our work will not get us into heaven, right? Can everybody agree with that? Our work is not going to get us. It is by faith through which we are saved, right? We are saved by faith, but our work reveals the faith that we have. It's an interesting balance there, okay? But truth be told, our hard work is a revelation of our relationship with God. Our hard work, what we do, reveals the God that we serve. In fact, I want to share two things with you, very simple things this morning that go along with our vision statement here at Lighthouse Community Church. Lighthouse Community Church will know God and show God through making disciples of Jesus Christ, okay, by connecting people to God, community, and purpose. Know God and show God. So here's the thing about your work. The first thing is we know God through hard work. We know God through hard work. I mean, think about it. Hard work. I mean, think about it. Follow a God who works hard. When you go all the way back into Genesis chapter 1, you see days, God worked hard. For 6 days, He created everything that you see and things that you don't see. Okay? Okay? Here I get to, for the last like 8 years, I have the privilege of doing a purity event in Holland, Michigan, speaking to fifth graders. And specifically when we talk about the pipes and the plumbing, I get to talk to fifth grade boys. And it's amazing because I talk to them about how when we think of God, we think of the grand, we think of huge, we think of the universe. We think of the hundreds and thousands of light years away that our mind can't even comprehend, that there are planets that like 100 Earths could fit into. And yet our God isn't just the God of the grand. We think of the Grand Canyon, but our God is the God of detail. It's not just the things that we can see, it's the things we can't see as well. That our God is so creative. And in 6 days, God created everything. And on the seventh day, God, what? Rested. Was God tired? No. Was God out of breath? No. But He gave us an example that when we work hard, we rest. We rest. It draws us back to Him. And we don't work to rest. We work from our rest. And that's how we glorify God. And I'm going to do a sermon or a series on Sabbath and talk more about that, what the Sabbath is and why we are to take a Sabbath. But God instituted the Sabbath. And part of that reason is because we work hard. We know God through hard work. God reveals Himself through our work. God reveals Himself in our work. And when things aren't going right and we're working hard, God reveals Himself to us in His faithfulness to us in those dark times like we talked about last week. So the one thing we do is we know God through hard work. The second thing is we show God through hard work. We show God. Do you realize that people are watching you? Do you realize that people watch you when you work? I know, sounds creepy, right? Okay, I watch our staff. I hide and just, no, I'm kidding you. That's really weird, okay? But people watch us. Especially if they know that we're followers of Jesus, they watch us to see how we work. And not just that we work hard, but how in our hard work we respond. Okay? Like, you know, if things get difficult, do I say things I shouldn't say? When I get tense and when the pressure is on, do I treat people poorly? Or do I love them the same as when things are going well? We show God through our hard work. I love what Scripture says in Colossians 3:23. In the Living Bible translation, it says, "Work hard and cheerfully at all you do, just as though you were working for the Lord and not merely your masters." Okay? People will look at you, they will watch you, and when they do, will they accuse you of being a hard worker? And not just a hard worker physically, but will they accuse you of being a hard worker relationally? In your work with your neighbors, with your co-workers, fellow workers, fellows, how do you work? And do they see do they see God in your work? There's just a few things that we see in Colossians. Tells us, work hard. Work hard, okay? This reveals who we are. If we're hard workers, you know people who are hard workers, right? You know people that when I say hard workers, boom, those people come to mind, okay, instantly. We're told, be hard workers. The second thing is to work cheerfully. To work cheerfully. How many people do you know that when they work, they grumble under their breath? Oh, man, this is such a bummer. I can't believe I have to do this. How come Doug doesn't do it? Where is he? How come he doesn't? And they just grumble all the time. Work cheerfully. Nobody likes to be around Eeyore. Make work fun. That's a great thing, okay? Try and see if you can make people smile. It helps our attitude and it helps their attitude. The next thing he says, in all you do. In all you do. Not just the things you like to do. And then whatever else you have to do, you just kind of fake it or it gives you leeway to be angry. But in all you do, that's the direction of our life. And finally, as though you were working for the Lord. As though I know this is kind of cliched and it's kind of cheesy, but if Jesus was your boss, would you work the way you work? If Jesus was your boss, would you treat people the way you treat them? If Jesus was your boss, would you talk to your coworkers the way you talk to them? If Jesus was your boss, would you talk about your supervisor the way you talk about your supervisor behind his back? I mean, to his face, okay? In all we do, as though it was for the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong, because there are some people who take working hard to an extreme. Those people we call workaholics. Those are the people who put in time. Part of it sometimes is because they love their work. Part of it is because they need the money. Part of it is for whatever reason. But somehow, like anything else, when we take too much of a good thing, it becomes not just a bad thing, but it becomes our God, and it replaces God. And the God of heaven says, I will not share your heart with another God. Not even work. Not even work. And so here's the thing I want to end with this morning. It's not just outside of these walls that we need to work hard. It's not just outside of these walls. Believe me, when you and I leave this place, I hope that you will be inspired to renew your vision of how you work. Do you work hard? Do you work efficiently? Do you use your time well? Do you treat people well? Do you treat your boss well, even though your boss may not deserve it? Do you treat your coworkers with dignity and respect? Do you smile when you work? Okay? But even inside of these walls, there's opportunities for us to make a difference within the community of believers right here. You can make a difference in the church. In fact, we need you to make a difference in the church. There are opportunities for you to serve. And I'm not saying we need you 8 hours a day or even 8 hours a week. Just a simple amount of time will make a difference in the church body. Let me just give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. This week, we're finishing up the children's wing. That is not an ongoing process. To finish up this week. If we could get you to jump, I could make a commitment for a couple hours this week. Boom! It's right there. You've made a difference, not just finishing a building, but you've made a difference of the children who meet back there. Because believe me, this is what I've said from the beginning here at Lighthouse Community. It's not, for those of you who don't know what, haven't gone to Lighthouse before, when I point over there, that's where our children's wing is. Not that I'm just randomly pointing, okay? But right over there, we do not babysit in that building. We do not babysit in that area. We're making disciples. Amen. We're making disciples. And by you coming and you painting or you putting stuff up or you doing whatever you do this week, you are helping us to make better disciples of Jesus Christ. In our fall kickoff on September 15th, which I encourage you to come. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be so much fun. We're going to have food trucks here. We're going to have yard games. It's going to be fun for us to just get together as a church body. It'd be a great time to invest and invite a friend or a family to come and be part of on the 15th. But on September 15th, our fall kickoff, all of our ministries kick in, okay? Youth ministry, children's ministry. And right now, we have some areas where we need help in children's ministry. If you look up on the screen, you can see some opportunities to serve. We need a group, large group leader one Sunday per month. We need small group leaders for K through first grade. We need small group leaders for for fourth and fifth grade every other week. That's it. You don't even have to be there every week, okay? We need nursery workers every other week or once a month. We'll take what we can get. Okay? And so for you, you know, some of you, you look at it and go, well, kids aren't my thing. All right? Well, there's plenty of other areas to be involved, but let me just share this with you. Let me share this thing, because I know there's some of you, I don't think that's where I should serve. Whether we're looking at children's ministry, we think that's not my thing. That's not where I should serve. And I remember when I was a young man, I think I was still in college. And it was like my senior year of college, and I was at a large church, and the lady who was running the middle school ministry had resigned her position, and the youth pastor came to me, and he said, you know, would you, and let me back up for a second. I believed that God had called me into youth ministry, but I believed that God had called me to be a high school pastor. I didn't want to mess around with middle schoolers. I didn't want to have anything to do with them. They were irritating to me. That's being nice, okay? Some of you are parents, and you have middle schoolers, and they're irritating to you too, okay? No hands, keep your hands down, all right? But I'd interned with high schoolers, and I knew that God had called me to high school, and our youth pastor called me up, and he called me in, and we were talking in his office. He said, hey, listen, Nancy, who's the lady that was, she's leaving, and want to know if you'd be willing to, you know, take on the junior high group, middle school group, whatever. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. And he was like, well, why don't you pray about it, and then we'll talk. And I literally said to him, I can pray about it, but I already know the answer, right? And then I started praying about it. It's a stupid mistake. I started praying about it. And God was like, yeah, that's where I want you to be. And I'm like, no, God, you didn't hear me right. Let me just rephrase this real quick. God, you don't want me. If you say yes, then you're saying you don't want, you know, I'm trying to get out of it. And God's like, no, that's where I want you to be. I want you to be in middle school. I want you to be in middle school. I want you to, like, you know, it's like that no moment, right? And I say, and you know, I'm going to tell you right now, I came to a place in ministry where I was like, I would rather do this working with middle schoolers than anything else. I just didn't know it. I just didn't know that that's what God had created me to do in that moment. I loved working with middle schoolers, and most of you know why. Because I'm a 13-year-old in a 55-year-old body. I can identify with my people, okay? Love working with middle schoolers. I still do. I still love working with middle schoolers. I would have never known that if I didn't just listen to God's voice and be obedient to God saying, that's where I want you to be. Against my will, against my wishes, against my perceived calling on my life, God said, that's where I want you. And he opened up this door that I was like, wow, I love this. And it didn't seem like work. I couldn't wait to be there. I couldn't wait to be involved. And for some of you, you're looking at children's ministry, and you're looking at the things behind me, and you're going, I could never, ever be with fourth and fifth graders. There would have to be a blood sacrifice when I went home, okay? I'd have to look for a cat. I'm just kidding. Okay? Some of you are like, ooh, we're never coming back. Okay. But you know what? You may look at it and God may say, no, that's where I want you to be. And you're like, no, God, no. It's anywhere but there. And God's like, no. And then you know what? If you make a one-year commitment, 1 year, for some of you, it won't be the last year that you work in that ministry. You'll be like, I never knew I'd love this. I never knew I would get into this. And God will bless you and he'll turn your vision. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's other ministries. There's other ministries where we need help building and grounds. First impressions, hospitality. I'm going to be talking more in a series in the fall about being engaged in ministry. But right now, you have an opportunity to make a difference by volunteering right here. We need you. The church needs you. Our kids need you. And you can make a difference. So I want to end with three questions, and then we'll be done. Is that okay? Three questions that I think that you and I need to ask of ourselves. Ready? And I think you should write these down or take a picture of them, okay? The first question is, what are you doing? What are you doing? If you go to Lighthouse and you call Lighthouse home, or maybe Lighthouse isn't your home, you've got another church in another city or what? What are you doing that's engaged in making a difference, not only outside the walls of the church? Because God gave you the talents in order to build up the body of Christ. You encourage the body of Christ when you serve inside the body of Christ. What are you doing? The second question is, what are you working for? Why do you work? Why do you work? Are you working just to make a paycheck? Are you working to make a difference? I'm going to say it again. For some of you, where you work is not as important as who you work with. Because for some of you, God has you where you are because your life can impact other lives in a place that is dark and needy of the Spirit of God. The third question is, how are you working? How are you working? Remember what that scripture said, to be cheerful, to bring life. As a follower of Jesus, you should be bringing life into the kingdom and into your workplace and into your school and into your neighborhood and into your family. How are you working? So this Labor Day, those are the three questions that I want you and I to focus on. Okay? What are you doing? Who are you working for? And how are you working? Family, stand up with me. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this day. We thank you, God, for work. We thank you for healthy bodies that can make a difference. And God, I just pray that as we leave this place, we would be reminded that it is an awesome gift that we get to work. That we get to work outside these walls. And for those of us who are retired, that gives us a little bit more time to work and make a difference in other places. And God, help us to remember that our difference isn't only made outside of these walls, but we have the opportunity to encourage the body of Christ inside these walls by working and serving each other. We love you, God, and we praise you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.